to the One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about friends and how I met your mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
How are you?
I'm okay.
How are you, Natalie?
I'm okay.
How is our dog, Darla?
Oh, she's annoying.
She's panting like crazy.
She's panting.
Like, she's like Joe Pantoliano.
Exactly.
I just stole your joke. That was your joke.
Yeah. She's real cute, though.
Yeah, she is. Is that it?
It's a nice, warm, sunny Los Angeles day.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, it was like in the 80s.
Yeah, beautiful April day.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, but when it gets to the 90s,
yeah,
we'll all be singing a different tune.
Yeah.
But this is not a podcast about our dog being cute.
Or the weather.
About the weather. This is a podcast about Friends and How I Met Your Mother, which are two TV shows that we're watching. We're watching an episode of each every week. We recap, compare, contrast. We have all sorts of other fun little segments. We are on season 7, episode 5, am I correct?
Yeah.
Of both shows. Season 7, episode 5 of Friends is called... I have fully forgotten because we watched these...
The one with yesterday. The engagement picture.
The one with the engagement picture. And season 7, episode 5 of How I Met Your Mother, I don't know.
It's called The Field Trip.
It's called Field Trip. So we're going to put a pin in Field Trip. We're going to jump into season 7, episode 5 of Friends, the one with the engagement picture. Not photo, but picture. I feel like it should be photo.
Yes. Yes, it should.
It would be more correct.
Yes.
But anyway, that's not what they called the episode. They called it the one with the engagement picture. Yeah, we watched these yesterday, and we had planned to record as well yesterday, but yesterday turned out to be like an insanely busy day. So it was all ready yesterday, and now anytime that there's a day between when we watch and when we record,
my notes are all jumbled.
Yeah.
And I refuse to like review them.
Yeah. Well, at least... Like, last week, not only had there been the day in between, but we watched them in a slightly inebriated state.
Yeah. At least we
were sober.
It.
Yeah, we were sober when we watched these yesterday. We just, it's just been a while. So, we start at the
apartment.
The apartment. Chandler comes in and he got licked on the subway. Someone licked his neck on the subway. And it turns out it's someone that Phoebe knows. It's not important, but it comes up again later. Go ahead.
Willie.
Yeah.
Licknick.
That's the last name you made up.
Yeah.
I like it. Monica is going through photos of her and Chandler because her parents want to put an engagement notice in the paper, and she's looking for a photo of them.
Which is such a weird thing, and I know that there was like a whole storyline on Sex and the City about that. Like, to make your announcement in the paper that everyone reads is just like...
Yeah. But it's like a rich person thing, right?
I just assume. I guess it's a rich person thing. Yeah. But, like, I guess New Yorkers still read the paper, maybe?
I don't know. This was 20 years ago.
Maybe also...
The Gray Lady, you mean?
Yes.
The New York Times?
Yes, yes.
New Yorkers, do you call it the Gray Lady?
And do you read... Like, they used to have, like, obituaries and wedding announcements
in
the paper.
Yeah. I mean, I think people... Once they get up to a certain age, probably read the obituaries, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Like Uncle Junior.
Well, he was looking for excuses to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get off his house arrest.
And you referred to the reception as the after party.
Yeah. And he had a blast.
Yeah. I think we can both agree that The Sopranos is a funnier show than both Friends or How I Met Your Mother, right?
Oh, yeah. It's like a... Laugh out loud.
It's so funny.
Comedy.
Yeah. So Chandler can't take a good picture. He's the opposite of Barney, right?
Yes. I was going to bring that up in similarities.
Yeah, I figured you were, but since it's not a real similarity because it's not between the two episodes.
It's a real one.
Okay.
Because it's...
But he's the opposite of Barney. He can't take a good picture no matter what. And that's kind of the end of the cold open. After the titles were at the Perk... And Ross and Chandler come in from not playing basketball. Like, apparently they go to the park dressed like with a basketball and dressed to play basketball, but like the cool kids don't let them play.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
And also there's got to be, how many public basketball hoops do you think there are in New York City? Can I Google that?
Yeah, probably. Okay. I don't know if you'll get an accurate answer.
Okay, let's see. How many public basketball hoops? You want to vamp while I do that? Or not vamp, but...
I would say there would have to be, like, thousands.
Yeah.
Because think of all the city parks and all the boroughs.
Yeah.
You know? Every school? Are we counting schools?
Okay. The New York City Parks Department operates 1,800 basketball courts, around 1,800.
Okay.
So 800 athletic fields, 1,000 playgrounds, 1,800 basketball courts, 550 tennis courts, 65 public pools, 51 recreational facilities, 15 nature centers, 14 golf courses, and 14 miles of beaches. That is from the New York Parks and Rec website.
55 burgers, 55 fries. I don't want to be that guy, but anytime there's like a numerical listing of things, I can't not think about that.
You know what I think about how like... because of, there's a famous TV show, we're not doing a podcast about it, it's called Parks and Rec, or Parks and Recreation. Mm-hmm. Because of that, does it bother you that in Los Angeles, it's the Department of Recreation and Parks, like it's backwards? But it, obviously in Los Angeles, it's been called that before the show existed.
Yeah,
but Parks it just feels like
Recreation sounds much better.
Yeah, but it's, officially it's Recreation and Parks in Los Angeles. Yeah, that always kind of bothers me.
That is bothersome.
Yeah, there's another one like that that I can't remember. That's like a show made like CSI or whatever. There's like the actual like
scene crime investigators.
Yeah. All right.
Investigation of city crimes.
That's what it is. Let's see. So, but then at the perk, and Phoebe got a hot dude's number, a guy that.
Cute coffee house guy,
but the guys call him Hums While He Pees.
Hums While He Pees.
Which that is like, I don't know. I don't know. You know what? Listeners, men or those who use men's rooms, whoever, whatever you wanna, however you wanna identify, am I uptight? I don't want any talking whatsoever in the men's room.
Okay. Answer, yes, you are uptight, and...
But I don't want someone talking to me while they're, like... expelling fluids from their
body. Here's the thing. For those who use women's restrooms, there's definitely a place for a camaraderie, and it's usually involved, like, do you have a tampon? Can you give me some toilet paper? Can you spare a square? I love your lipstick. Do you have a tissue? My makeup's running. Is everything okay? Why are you crying? Like, there's so much to be...
I like that why are you crying is in, like, the heavy rotation.
Yeah. I mean...
what percentage of time do you enter a public women's restroom and there's someone crying in there?
I've been on both ends of that.
I'm saying how often?
How often in life in
general? Often does it happen to you that you encounter someone crying in
I don't know, probably like a dozen times in my life.
Okay. Okay, so every couple years, every few years?
Yeah.
On average? Okay.
Yeah, I would assume so. But there's definitely, it's a place of like pure vulnerability, and I feel like you have to be yourself, and I don't know, I've had some like pretty incredible connections and conversations in bathrooms.
So, yeah, I don't want anyone to... speak to me, even at the, like, I guess at the sink is okay, but I prefer nothing. But especially, like, when I'm at the urinal next to someone, I want to, like, pretend you don't exist, you know?
Yeah.
It's annoying. And then here's...
it's too bad. You're missing out on some really great conversations.
Well, no, maybe if I were in a women's room, I would be missing out on great conversations, but there aren't great conversations happening in men's rooms. It's obnoxious men. Hmm. Have a coworker who has a tendency, and this really bothers me, he will use the urinal and then not fully like zip and belt himself up until he's at the sinks.
Ugh, yeah, that's gross.
I mean, obviously he's not doing, his dick's not hanging out. He but puts still, that away, but then he's walking up to the sink still like tucking in his shirt and zipping up and like, I hate it.
Is he in a big damn rush all the time? Like, he can't...
Maybe, yeah. I hate that. And then the other thing I really hate that is more common in men's rooms than women crying in women's rooms is the dude who's very expressive and how relieved he is. Just being like, oh.
Yeah, that's gross.
But it happens way more than once every few years. It's like once every couple weeks I encounter someone like, oh.
You are also a person who values like the public space being a public space that you have to respect.
We're always be mindful when you're in public that you're sharing this place with others.
Right.
It's not your living room. It's not your private space. Be mindful of others in the public space. That is something that I believe in. Yes.
Yeah.
Very deeply.
Yeah. But you then know? I feel like there are many conversations that can be had about, like, in many cases, a public space is the only home some people have, you know, as far as, like, bathrooms. So there's no privacy in, like, a home setting.
Yeah, well, this is why I want people to take my advice of what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't judge because I don't know someone's story.
Right.
It's the same as, like,
when people wear pajamas out of the house.
No, what I was going to say. I like when... Oh, yes. Wow. It's very fitting that you just incorrectly finished my sentence. Very fitting for this episode. I don't know if you know where I'm getting at.
I don't.
Anyway, we'll get back to that.
Okay.
No, what I was going to say, it's like... When I see someone in a grocery store parking lot just like... not take their cart to the cart return.
Yeah, that's upsetting.
But I know, there's a thing. I don't judge. I don't know. Maybe that person is in a rush. Maybe that person has some sort of physical injury. I don't judge. But I just want everyone to know in your heart, that if you do that when you were perfectly capable of taking 20 seconds to return the cart, you're an asshole.
Absolutely. We agree.
You are bad for society.
We agree.
But I don't judge. If I see someone doing it, I don't judge them because I don't know. I don't know their story. But I just want people to know you got to return your cart if you can.
Yeah, there's a, I think I told you, but there's a TikToker who does nothing but shame people who don't put their carts away. And he films them and he trolls them. Uh-huh. And he calls them out. And I think he's right to do it because I want people to know that they're being watched.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is all I'm saying is, if you are able, obviously, if the public park is also your living room because you don't have a place to live, I'm not going to judge you for that, obviously.
Right.
But just try to be mindful, do the best you can to share space. We're all in this together. I'm very much a, I don't know. I was just a liberal, I guess, in that sense. That I just, in all, not just like political spectrum, but in all sense of the word. Right. Like, this I just want space. Us all to
share it.
And we are all in this together is very much my philosophy of the world.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, the guy who hums while he pees, Phoebe Got His Number, is put by David Sutcliffe, a.k.a. Rory Gilmore's dad.
Rory's dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Meanwhile, so carried over from last week, everyone is discouraging Rachel from dating her assistant, including Ross, who is one to talk.
Right, right.
No one calls him out on having dated his student. Back at the office, Rachel she's just obsessed with tags. She's snooping through his bag, and then another employee who's, like, not in tags department and is age-appropriate for him, like... is interested and Rachel like scares her off.
Right.
Her name's Melissa. Let's see. Rachel and Monica and Chandler have decided to get professional photos taken. So they're trying to take the photos and Chandler can't smile in any normal way.
Yeah.
And that's just there's not much plot to that. That's just a funny thing. We'll come back to it. Joey stops by Rachel's work because he got tomato sauce in his shirt and he wants to borrow a Ralph Lauren shirt. And Rachel says,
"No, he wants to borrow a shirt." And he's like, "Anything but Ralph Lauren." She's like,
"Yeah,
we're at Ralph."
Yeah, but then later, Well, we'll get to it later.
Yeah.
Okay. Where was I? Oh, so Rachel's like, why don't you take Tag out? Because Rachel told this Melissa woman that Tag had plans that night. So Rachel wants Joey to take Tag out to a game or something. Meanwhile, Chandler still can't take a photo. This is just going on. Blah, blah, blah. At the perk, Phoebe and Rory's dad come by. He's got tickets to a ballroom dancing competition.
Yeah.
Which I feel like we're supposed to laugh at Ross for being into that. But you know, sounds cool to me. Yeah. I'd go. I forgot to mention that Rory's dad, much like the real Rory's dad, is going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, is that true? Were Lorelai and Christopher ever married? You watched the show more recently.
They were,
okay.
I think. I'm pretty sure they were.
And it is Christopher, right? That's his name.
They got married very early.
Yeah.
Because, that's right. You know, the Gilmores are very conservative.
Right.
Traditional. So
they
had
to get married.
They had to get married.
Yeah.
Christopher. Yeah.
It is Christopher. Okay.
Christopher.
Yeah, that's his name. So I forgot to mention that he's getting divorced. Yes. And his wife is outside, and I failed to write down the actress's name.
Oh, I did.
But,
Julia Campbell.
Yeah.
And I know her from
Seinfeld.
Romy and Michelle.
Oh, who is she?
She was one of like the mean girls who gets pregnant.
Okay, yeah. But on Seinfeld, she was. It's a good bet that like any woman who shows up on Friends probably played one of Jerry's girlfriends on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
So she was the one who incorrectly finished his sentences.
Oh.
I didn't expect a movie like that to end underwater, be so long. but then he goes to break up with her, and the breakup turns into an argument that lasts so long that it has become nightfall. And meanwhile, there's this serial killer, the lobber.
Oh, that's right.
is in the neighborhood. So then Jerry's like, he just spent like 12 hours breaking up with this woman, but now he like doesn't want to leave her apartment.
Yes. Okay. This is also like a guest star thing that I thought I was mistaken about. So the engagement photographer, I thought it was also an actor from Seinfeld who played like the cab driver who Elaine pretends.
Oh no! But he was on.
He was also on.
Wasn't he on How I Met Your Mother?
I think
we talked
so.
About it.
But his actual name is Roger Eschbacher, and he has a lot of credits, but they're all.
This is the guy who actually played the photographer. Yeah.
Like it seems to be like voice actor because it's all animated.
So I know I have another podcast about movies, but I hope it's okay with everyone if I talk about movies for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So. There's a plot point in La La Land where Ryan Gosling's character misses Mia's one-woman show because he's stuck at a photo shoot for his band.
Mm-hmm.
The photographer, the guy who plays the photographer in that, also plays the photographer at the beginning of Licorice Pizza when what's-his-name is getting his high school photo taken, where he first meets Alana Haim because she's the assistant to the photographer.
Okay.
So what I'm wondering is that guy a photographer in real life and just gets cast to play photographers, or has he been like typecast as a photographer? I could look that up, but I just it just came to mind now. Okay. So Phoebe asks Ross to like distract Whitney, Rory's dad's ex,
yes,
or soon to be ex. And he does so in exchange for the ballroom dancing tickets, which is funny because like they weren't Phoebe's to give away.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess he was. I guess Rory's dad, whose name is Kyle, I should say, was willing to give up the tickets to not have to talk to his wife. The next morning, Ross is dancing around the apartment, and Phoebe shows up, and then so does Whitney, Kyle's soon-to-be ex-wife. It turns out they went to the ballroom dancing together and
had a great time
and
yeah,
she's going to come over for breakfast. Also, the next morning, we found out the Tag, he picked up a few things from Joey. They went out after the game. They went to a Knicks game, I think? I can't remember.
I think, yeah.
And then hit the town after and picked up chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. they were like Barney. They were getting some giant. Mm-hmm. Where was I? Back at at Joey's apartment, he's trying to get Chandler to smile, like using acting techniques. And then Rachel shows up and she's pissed at him because she's like possessive about Tag, even though it's a really annoying.
Yeah,
it's inappropriate and it's just annoying.
Yeah.
But Joey doesn't want to talk to, or Joey doesn't want to stay hanging out with Tag. But Rachel convinces Joey to tell Tag to stop his nascent womanizing ways in exchange for 10 Ralph Lauren shirts, which we'll get to in funniest moments. Okay. But like, it's interesting that Joey could be bought off by Ralph Lauren shirts because he made clear that he doesn't like them.
Wait, the one that we'll get to later, is that about like the bargaining?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very funny. So they go round two of the photos, and Chandler has taken some Benadryl to like relax or something.
Yeah.
And he's like almost drooling and falling over, and like he literally falls asleep.
Yeah.
There's a hilarious scene that I loved and got a big applause from the studio audience at the park, where Ross, because now Ross is dating Whitney and Phoebe's dating Kyle, and they know, they have picked up the entire story of the divorce, and so they are arguing in proxy.
On behalf of,
so basically,
yeah.
Like, Ross is arguing Whitney's points,
yeah.
And Phoebe is arguing Kyle's. It's very funny, and I loved it. Meanwhile, I guess Joey's talk with Tag worked because he has decided to give up his womanizing ways, and is going back to his ex-girlfriend. And Rachel's like, oh, shucks, because what? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all very stupid. I mean, she just wants like no one else to date him until she's over her crush.
Mm-hmm.
It's mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ross and Phoebe are now like barely talking to each other as if they're an unhappily married couple.
Yeah.
Which I love. But then Kyle and Whitney come in to jointly break the news to Ross and Phoebe that they have to end their new relationships because they're getting back together. Ross and Phoebe are sad, and then we find out that Monica took her engagement photo with Joey instead of Chandler.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything or any stray observations? What do you want to? You want to move on to funniest moments?
Yeah, let's move on to funniest moments.
When Phoebe is talking about Kyle, she says, he's getting a divorce. Ross, maybe you know him.
Yeah. Yeah. That was in mine, too. And then it leads to, like, a whole, like, maybe you should start, like, a sad man club or, like, a divorce club. Same difference.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then Ross says, divorced men are not bad. Okay, because he says, like, yeah, there's a club. And divorced men are not bad men. And Chandler says, it says that on the napkins at the club.
Yeah. Okay, when Tag comes back and says, like, yeah, you know, hitting on ladies, it was fun while it lasted, but it's, like, he was talking about his night. No, before he says that, Rachel asked about his night, and then she says, another night of bird dog in the chicas?
Yeah.
And then he says, like,
yeah.
No, that's not for me.
Yeah,
I
that was
get
in
back
my...
together.
This sometimes just a really obvious silly joke, telegraphed though it may be, really gets me. So Joey goes to borrow a shirt because he got tomato sauce in his shirt. She gives him a Ralph Lauren shirt. He puts it on and then goes, ooh, jelly donuts, and bites a jelly donut, and jelly goes all over his shirt. And we later find out his shoe as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it coming a mile away,
of
and
course.
Yet it was so funny.
Okay, after the, I don't know who says this, but they joke that the photo in the paper is local woman saves drowning man.
That's what Monica says. The headline's supposed to be Geller and Bing to marry.
Saves drowning moron.
Yeah, the headline's supposed to be Geller and Bing to be married, not local woman saves drowning moron.
Yes, you're okay. So much better at this.
Well, no, because I write them down.
I kind of do, too.
Okay, well then I'll take the bargaining one, which is when Rachel wants Joey to talk to Tag, talk him out of Bird Dog and Chica's. She says, I'll give you 10 free Ralph Lauren shirts, and Joey goes, 1. No, 10. You said 10.
When Ross and Phoebe are arguing about the like proxy marriage in Ross's apartment, like Whitney comes to the door and Phoebe's just like talking all kinds of shit about Whitney.
Yeah.
And Ross is like, hold on a moment, closes the door and continues to talk about him. And she says, this door isn't soundproof.
Yeah.
And Phoebe goes, see, nothing is good enough for her.
Yeah, I didn't like Phoebe taking the Kyle's side, but I guess she's, you know, love struck.
Yeah.
That's all I had.
Me too.
Friends but make it fashion?
I
feel like
I don't really have anything.
Yeah, I've run out of steam on this topic for Friends. Like, I just feel like they've gotten into a groove and nothing.
Yeah. They all look great.
Yeah, look fine.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Props, real quick, mazel to the Magna. There's a dog catching a wave.
Oh, cool.
A surfboard, yeah.
Cool. Under the umbrella, you go first.
A little bit of slut shaming when Rachel refers to that slut in marketing.
Yeah.
Because Tag's interested in someone at work.
Yeah.
Joey being a slob, spilling numerous sauces on his shirts. Someone says, I don't want to date a dude. Oh. When Joey says, like, I would for money, I'm, like, between jobs or something.
Yeah.
Someone saying, like, she's crazy about a woman. Rachel calls someone crazy. Phoebe calls Whitney crazy.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Phoebe repeats a lot of, like, toxic stuff.
We get a... How you doing? But this time from Tag.
I know. That reminds, like, I feel like How I Met Your Mother is more, like, likely to put, like, someone else's, like, have someone else say legendary or something, you know?
Yes.
It's rare we get, like, one of the, on Friends, get a, like, a character's catchphrase said by someone else. I like that. Also, I was sure you were going to mention Ross and Phoebe just screaming at the top of their lungs in the park, just like treating it like, as we were saying, treating it like their living room.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
Should we maybe take a quick break?
Yes.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And we're back from our quick break, and we are ready to talk about Season 7, Episode 5 of How I Met Your Mother, Field Trip.
Okay.
Natalie, you love a field trip. Take it away.
I do. So Robin's back in therapy, and it seems to be going pretty well. She's learning about how she kind of self-sabotages and is scared of happiness. And then Kevin, the therapist, says, I can't see you anymore. And good on him, because he starts to develop kind of feelings for her beyond the therapeutic relationship.
Yeah.
Like, he finds her attractive and he's noticing these feelings, and that's definitely the right thing to do. Of course, you should, you know, address it appropriately and then make a referral to another therapist, you know.
As opposed to
what will come next.
What, lying and saying you're moving to Alaska?
Yes, he lies and said he's moving to Alaska. Robin is eating at a diner and sees Kevin, and she says, hey, what if it's not... Like, she invites him to sit down, and he's like, no, I can't date, like, a client. And she's like, well, I'm not a client anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, still, it's, you know, ethical dilemma. I don't want to do that. I have feelings for you. And then she's like, well, if it's not a date if two people are just sitting next to each other eating food. So they continue to do this multiple days a week.
Yeah, having breakfast.
Having breakfast yeah. next to each other. They're having great conversations. Meanwhile, at McLaren's, Barney's wearing the ducky tie, and they're talking about movies, I think?
I don't remember.
Okay. Marshall brings up Garrison Kootz, played by Martin Short, whom we've met already. Marshall keeps trying to impress him, and, like, make big grand gestures about these earth rapists, uh-huh. like the big corporation. And Lily, like, he says something about, like, he's calling them earth rapists, and then Lily's like, wait, like, I have our baby in my belly, like, you have to, I don't know, change your wording.
Make it G-rated.
Yeah, make it G-rating. So he changes it, and retelling it, it's these corporate employees at the company. Gruber Pharmaceuticals is the company. Nora comes to the bar. There's a conversation about Ewoks, and she says she doesn't like Ewoks. And of course, that's a big, huge deal for Barney. We'll get to that later. Robin admits that she's dating her therapist. Everyone is grossed out. Ted decides to take his intro to architecture class to the GNB construction site on a field trip. And he wants to, like, inspire a young budding architect to, you know, make their dream come true. He's at the construction site, and turns out, you know, everyone is right. No one cares. In their intro, you know, freshmen, no one cares about this class. They're just taking it. And he tries to get onto the construction site, and, like, the construction foreman is like, you can't go to this construction site. And he's like trying to name drop his name, and they're like, I don't care who you are, this is like an unsafe, you can't
plan out a field trip. You can't just take your class and show up somewhere.
And this field trip just goes, like, completely off the rails, because he takes them now, like, through the city streets of his whole life. They go to McLaren's, they go to his apartment, they go to his they go to Barney's office? Is that where Barney shows them the...
Yeah, well, they go to GNB headquarters.
GNB headquarters.
And they go to the conference room, and Barney...
Okay, Barney shows them the slideshow, and it's about, like, the Ewoks and their rich backstory and their anatomy, and there's probably, like, 75 slides that he's put together.
It's very funny, even though I'm annoyed by a Star Wars shit, it is very funny.
But it's, like, it's all about... Well, he also does, like, sex lessons for these 18-year-olds because they want sex lessons.
Yeah.
But it's ultimately about the Ewoks and his theory that anyone born before 1980, born after 1987, what is it?
No, born 1973. Anyone born before 1973, by the time Return of the Jedi came out, they were old enough to recognize that Ewoks were... cutesy pandering kid shit and be annoyed by them. But anyone born after 1973 was still a kid when the Ewoks came and liked the Ewoks.
Yes. So in his mind, like, Nora couldn't possibly just dislike the Ewoks. She has to be over 37, which is, like, the worst thing that he could imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, it's so, like, Star Wars fans to not acknowledge that, like, maybe I could, like, me, David Bax, the person talking, I could have liked the Ewoks when I was a kid,
right,
and then grown up and realized that they were annoying and stupid, cute, and pandering
stuff.
But, like, to a Star Wars fan, the idea of maturing or growing up is just anathema.
Okay, so at Marshall's office, he's bummed that they... that Garrison Kootz is, like, losing his edge as, like, a hardcore environmental lawyer, and he accepted, like, a chintzy $24,000 settlement when they could get him for, like, millions of dollars.
Yeah, Marshall said he wasn't going to accept anything under 20 mil.
Yes, 20 mil. Yeah, and they took 24,000.
Yeah.
And they celebrated with a party and multiple cakes. And I didn't see what the cake said, but the cakes have like coots on the cake.
Yeah, they have pictures
and slogans.
But yeah, I couldn't see what they said either.
Okay.
What did the cake say?
Yeah, what did the yeah. Marshall's calling Lily.
What's on the cake?
On the phone. And Lily's at work, and she's like, there's cake. And so she's on her way to the office, even though she has an appointment with Dr. Sonia.
Yeah.
At 4.
But is that supposed to be like a pregnant woman joke?
Like that she wants cake?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess. So the field trip is back at Ted's apartment, and they walk in, and Robin and Kevin are about to get their swerve on.
Yeah.
Kevin's excited about it. Not only are the students there, but they picked up some German family.
Yeah.
And then, let's see. Okay, Marshall's making the argument that, like, this group of Germans and the students are, like, a perfect
Barney.
Yeah. Perfect focus group. So he'll ask them things like, is macaroni salad, pasta, or a salad? Jacob or Edward?
We'll get to that in funniest moments. We'll get to
that later.
But I think people, like, a macaroni salad is a salad.
It's not a salad.
A Cobb salad is a salad. They're two different kinds of salads. Pasta salad, potato salad, egg salad, chicken salad, tuna salad, macaroni salad.
It's a side dish.
But I'm saying, that type of dish is called a salad.
It's called a salad. It has salad in the name.
What I'm saying is that, like, this thing that I'm wearing on my finger is called a ring.
Yes.
And also, the place where boxers compete is called a ring. It doesn't mean they're the same thing. It's just different words.
Well.
A word that means the same. It's a word that means two things.
Yes.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Okay.
So I was referring friends and mothers to my wedding ring.
Yeah.
I'm not otherwise a guy who wears rings. I don't have like a signet ring or like.
You wear bracelets.
I am a bracelet guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then he asked them about the breakup, like if he should break up with someone who's 37, the focus group. Robin and Kevin decide that it is kind of creepy and like their makeout is awkward. And does he say this is like Crispin Glover creepy?
Yeah.
And I take offense to that because I find him enormously attractive.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got a.
I think he's more charming than creepy.
I worked on a movie that he was in. I was a PA on a movie that he was in. And my take is that he is an extremely awkward person,
mm-hmm.
but also extremely polite. Like,
yeah.
He's like shy and awkward, but also like so nice.
Yeah.
But not in like a friendly, genial way necessarily.
No, just like this is like, difficult for me.
But he's like very like, hello, like, you know, like.
I love his voice.
Yeah, or just like, have a good weekend on Fridays. Like,
yeah.
he's very polite.
Yes. Friends and mothers, Crispin Glover, what's a funny way to say it? Creepy or. Help me out here.
Is
creepy or peep me?
Does he give you the creeps or can he get it? No, that doesn't work. I was trying to like give or get, you know? That's like, I don't know. I can't do it. We'll come back to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I want to think of something. Okay. Oh, anyway. So more cake is had in the office. They've had three cakes. Marshall's eating cake. And then Garrison, like, so he confronts Garrison in his office and he's like, basically like, kind of like defeatist in his like, it's too late to save the planet. We're doomed. Like he lost all hope in like being able to save the planet.
Yeah.
We also learn that he's like a doomsday prepper and he has a bunker.
Yeah.
And what's the show that he has like all seasons of?
He has all five seasons of Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights. Oh, yeah. And there's a joke there about, like...
You can skip season two.
You can skip season... That's the murder season?
Yeah, that's the one that everyone says to...
So, yeah. He says the world is a grotesque, inevitable doom. Marshall doesn't want to believe it. They're at McLaren's. Everyone is depressed. Marshall's depressed because his girlfriend is 37. The field trip is still happening. And... one dude is like, I actually want to be an architect. Like, it's 4 o'clock and you're all at this bar together with your friends. You know, like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Robin goes to Kevin's office after kind of breaking it off with him and says, like, now let me play the role of your therapist. Give me 2 hours of your time, then we'll be even. You know, so there's not that, like, weird power dynamic imbalance. So... he gives more than 2 hours of vulnerability and opens up about his mother, the manipulator, and all kinds of stuff. And it's, they kind of end on like a happy note.
Yeah.
Still
unethical, right?
Still unethical. Yeah. There's plenty of people to date that, you know, like you're not, don't have this like history with.
Yeah.
Let's see, something about Mr. Coot saying I'm not gonna die.
Oh, that's what, that was his doomsday prepping thing.
Okay.
Because
okay.
Marshall's so like, we're all gonna die. He's like, well, I'm not gonna die, I'm gonna be in my bunker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Marshall saw the ultrasound and that's why he can't give up on the planet because his child is growing.
Yeah.
And so he decides to go to the office and reject the offer. They all kind of laugh at him, right? Gruber?
I mean, he mostly just is, like, very awkward. And we'll get to that in both Funniest Moments and Under the Umbrella.
Okay. Barney is with Nora, and he says to her, like, I know you're old, but I still love you or whatever. And she's like, I'm 29. I just recently... saw Star Wars, so I don't have an attachment to it. And he's so happy. Let's see. Kevin kind of like unravels in therapy. We already talked about that. And she says, okay, well, our time is up. You're cute. So they're going to stay together for now. Not good enough for going to war. So Marshall says we're going to go to war and save the planet. And that's the end of the episode. Oh, and then there's like a little tiny tag at the end, like 3 weeks later when they're, I think you'll get to that in your funniest moments.
Kind of, yeah. But I mean, we will.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that, what else?
Nothing else. I've just been brainstorming this Crispin Glover thing. I've come up with a couple based on famous characters that he's played.
Ooh, okay.
Just two.
Okay.
I wanted to get a third for rule of threes. I couldn't think of one. Maybe you can help me. Okay. So McFly or McDie? Right?
Okay.
Because he was George McFly?
Yeah.
Willard or Wontard?
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
And then I couldn't think of a third. I was trying to think he was like the thin man in the Charlie's Angels movies.
Yeah.
Like, thin man or thin...
Or no man?
Yeah.
No. Willard or won't I is a good one.
Okay. There you go. That's it. That's the hashtag. Is Crispin Glover hot? Let's move on to funniest moments. What do you got? I have a lot for this episode.
When Barney is giving his presentation to the class, like field trip, and he says, thank you, Gina. And then Ted goes, how do you know her name?
Yeah.
Like angry that, you know.
Yeah. When Barney is saying that, I already forgot Cal Penn's character's name, Dr. Whatever.
Kevin.
Dr. Kevin. When he's telling him that it's creepy, Barney says, it's one thing to pretend to be a therapist and bang your patients. That's normal.
Yes, I have that as well. After the presentation, Barney also says, Bieber, lights.
Because the guy has like, and I also like when the guy like flips around to like turn the lights off, his hair does.
Like a fly around.
Yeah. Okay. So when they were polling people, they say Jacob or Edward, and everyone says Edward, and of course you assume they're talking about Twilight.
right? Mm-hmm. But then Ted says, see, I told you, it's Edward James Olmos. And then I almost wish we didn't get the tag at the end right. with the, like, 1 week earlier where they're arguing right. about whether it's Edward. I wish the joke had just stopped there of just because to me it's funnier to just go like, wait, Barney thought it was Jacob James Olmos?
Yes.
But, yeah, I feel like they maybe hung too much of a lantern on it.
Yes.
But I like that moment.
Yeah.
I've still got more. What do you got?
I think it's funny when Barney says, Auf Wiedersehen to yeah. the Germans.
Yeah, yeah. When Marshall is pissed that they're celebrating in his office, you know, and Lily's there eating the cake, and she's like, are you sure? Have some cake. It's really good. And Marshall says, I don't care how good it is. I'm not going to have a third piece of cake.
Yeah. When Marshall's giving the presentation to Gruber Pharmaceuticals, he has a lot of fish content, which is not the first time.
No, that's under the umbrella as well, yeah.
But yeah, he was floundering.
Yeah. Your star assistant was just floundering.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, then you took one of mine. So my last one is, this is mostly just a product of Martin Short's delivery. But when he's in the middle of telling Marshall how the world is going to end and there's nothing we can do about it, and then one of the other employees comes in with a unicorn pinata, and Martin Short immediately goes, oh my goodness, a pinata.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good. Yeah, and then lastly, we already touched on it, but who says you're almost correct?
Yeah.
Jacob James Almost.
Yeah. How I Met Your Mother, but make it fashion.
Robin has a plaid shirt, and it's cute.
In this episode, Robin has two different tops with contrast collars. Like
a
patterned shirt
yeah.
and a white collar.
Yeah.
Or just a different colored shirt and a white collar. Two different outfits with contrast collars.
Yeah.
Also, where are we on 5 O'Clock Shadow Ted? Do we like 5 O'Clock Shadow Ted?
We do.
I kind of thought it looked good.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Under the umbrella, let's see. You mentioned the ducky tie, Star Wars shit. Yeah, Marshall brings
fish back, material.
Yeah. Brings back his fish-related stand-up material.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else I missed under the umbrella?
No. Slim Pickens.
All right. What do we have for similarities?
Okay. We have inappropriate dating.
Yeah. Yes.
We have wingmen, Tag and Joey, and,
right.
you know, a common Barney
yeah,
theme.
Yeah.
Being bad at photos. We talked about it before.
Yeah.
Being creepy with friends. Barney's always creepy with friends, and Joey yeah. made a joke about, like, having her, like, impregnating Monica.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
There's a joke about not knowing the difference between an archaeologist and an architect.
Uh-huh.
And even though yeah. Ross is a paleontologist, yeah. it's kind of a similar yeah. trajectory. Also boots. Monica has like really high boots, which is very characteristic of early How I Met Your Mother
yeah.
seasons.
I have one. I'm so glad you didn't think of it. So when Tag is telling Rachel about his night out with Joey and how he met some women, she was like, older women? And he was like, yeah, kind of old, like 30.
Yeah.
And then when Barney finds out that Nora is only 29, he says, you still have one good year left.
Yes.
So, yeah, thinking 30 is old.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I'm dreading this, the playing favorites part. I think I know I'm going to land. But this is a tight one. Both very funny episodes, which is usually my indicator. Both had things that annoyed me.
Yes.
All right, you ready?
3, 2, 1.
How I Met Your Mother. Yeah.
Yeah, this Rachel storyline doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, and similarly, the Robin and Kevin thing doesn't sit well, but
it's, they know.
The show is acknowledging it.
The show acknowledges it.
Whereas with the Rachel and Tag storyline, it's not just that I find it off-putting, it's also that it's so unfunny.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was a lot of other funny stuff in this episode of Friends and How I Met Your Mother. That was a tough one. I'd say let's catch up on our correspondence, but we haven't even posted an episode since the last time we recorded one, so we definitely don't have any correspondence.
No one has had a chance to think about the Crispin Glover conundrum.
Well, yeah, conundrum. Certainly not that, but we haven't gotten anything on, like, people's favorite beers. What did we do last week? Was that 2 weeks ago was favorite beer? No, last week was favorite beers. Famous eateries in your town you've never been to.
Yeah,
we didn't get any of that. So let's move on to my favorite segment to introduce. It's called How Were We Doing? This is where we look at what was happening in the world on the days that these episodes aired. Season 7, Episode 5 of Friends, the one with the engagement picture, aired on Thursday, November 2nd, 2000. And on this day, the first... the first residential... A resident crew of the International Space Station took up residence. Hmm. And the International Space Station has been occupied. It has never been without people since. They go shifts. And it will continue to be occupied into the 2030s, I think, is the plan. But this is as of this day, November 2nd, 2000. From that day to the present, there has never not been people in the International Space Station.
Hmm.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
I know you don't care about space stuff.
Don't care about space.
But I thought that meant more like fictional space stuff. But is it also true of like real life space stuff?
For the most part. I mean, give me an eclipse and I'll look at it.
But well, not with the glasses on.
Nope.
You're pulling a Trump?
And I'll look at stars all day long. I'll look at all the stars you got. But as far as like exploration, like NASA, I don't really care.
I don't know. That's how we find out more.
Yeah.
About the place that we live.
But let's go in the ocean. There's so much that we haven't... Okay.
We can do both.
But I feel like people don't care enough about what's at the bottom of the sea and all of those species that we haven't even... Human eyes have never even gazed upon.
Yeah.
It's a mystery down there.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
All right. Top 5 songs in the U.S. this week. Literally no change from last week. Number 5, Pink, Most Girls. Number 4, Three Doors Down, Kryptonite. Number 3, Creed with Arms Wide Open. Number 2, Madonna, Music. And at number 1, Christina Aguilera, Come On Over. Come on over, baby. Season 7, Episode 5 of How I Met Your Mother, Field Trip, aired on Monday, October 10th, 2011. Would that have been Indigenous Peoples Day? I didn't look that up. Isn't that usually when it's around then?
Yeah.
Columbus Day and still in some states, but yeah. In California it's Indigenous Peoples Day. On this day, where was I? The Commissioner David Stern of the National Basketball League has to cancel the first 2 weeks of games because the ongoing labor dispute or lockout. It's funny how when it comes to pro sports, they say like the players association and lockout, like they try to avoid labor terms, even though that's exactly what it is.
They don't say union, they try not to say strike,
but that's right. What it is. So it's a labor, I mean, I guess it's not officially a strike. They couldn't come, it's a lockout because the league and the owners and the players couldn't come, the players association, which is their union, but they're called the players association, couldn't come to agreements on contracts and revenue sharing and stuff like that. And it's always an interesting thing, you know, when we're talking about like these pro sports lockouts and labor in contract disputes, you know.
Yeah.
Because like the names that we know are these like star athletes, right? Like, yeah. And so there, I think certain people have a tendency to be like, how can LeBron James like claim that he's not getting paid enough? But, like, A, most players aren't making that much, and B, the people on the other side are making way more. The owners and stuff are making way more. You know, yeah. There's that old Chris Rock thing about black wealth and about how there's not enough black wealth because, like, this is when Shaquille O'Neal was playing. He said, Shaquille O'Neal is rich. The guy who signed Shaquille O'Neal's checks is wealthy. And so, basically, whenever there's a sports lockout in the NBA, the NFL, and the NHL, which seems to have them more often,
the player side. I'm always going to take the side of the people who are making less money, and I take the player side.
Well, yeah, and like it's a whole nother topic, but like the women's players make like such a shockingly low amount compared to the male players.
I know, but I feel like we're again, I don't really care about basketball, but we saw for the Final Four, the March Madness, and specifically Final Four, tickets for the women's Final Four were being resold for more than tickets for the men's Final Four. Meanwhile, in women's professional hockey, attendance records for women's hockey keep getting set and broken.
So that's good.
There was a lot of attention to the WNBA draft this year because Caitlin Clark on the University of Iowa, who came in second, I guess, was drafted first overall.
And guess how much she makes in a year?
I don't know, $100,000?
I'll say less than I make.
Oh, wow.
Whereas, you know, the male players make over $1 million. And even that's low compared to the owners, but $72,000 for a year of being a professional.
Yeah.
You know, like that's just.
Yeah. I don't know if all players, male players, make $1 million minimum. I'll bet the minimum. I wonder what league minimum is. Okay. Now I'm going to Google that out. Get. Okay. NBA.
Well, women's sports are much less than men's.
Yeah.
We'll just say blanket statement.
But I guess what I'm saying is, like, I feel like whenever you're making an argument, if you get even one fact wrong, then other people can pick apart your argument. That's why I'm always like...
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I don't have the facts, but...
But also, you're right. Wow. The league minimum is 1.1 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. You were right, it turns out. Where was I? Oh, I also wanted to say about the 2011 NBA lockout. Did you ever see the Steven Soderbergh movie High Flying Bird?
No.
It's fictional, but it takes place. Andre Holland plays a NBA agent who's representing players right like during that whole lockout thing. It's a good movie. Top five songs in the U.S. on that day. God, yeah. Again, barely. I mean, essentially no change. Change in the order, but that's it. Number five, LMFAO Party Rock Anthem. Terrible. At number four, Gym Class Heroes Stereo Hearts. Never heard of it. At number three, Foster the People, Pumped Up Kicks. Second worst song of all time. At number two, Maroon 5, Moves Like Jagger. The worst song of all time. And at number one, Adele. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. Yeah, we got to shake up the charts here.
Yeah.
That's some bad stuff. All right. Where was I? Is that it? Is that our last segment? No. Our last segment is called Challenge Accepted. Challenge Accepted is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on both shows using only the episode titles as clues. First, let's see how we did last week.
Okay.
I said Monica finds her and Chandler's engagement photo unacceptable.
Yeah.
I get it? Okay.
Yeah.
You said the gang tag along with Lily's class on a field trip.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up what episode 6 is called, but I'm going to need you to vamp while I do that.
Okay. Organic hummus. Organic chicken breasts. Vegan heavy whipping cream. Barbecue cut salmon. Chicken meatballs. Green goddess salad.
Okay. Season 7, episode 6 of Friends is called The One with the Nap Partners. The One with the Nap Partners. Okay. I'm going to say Joey School's roommate Rachel in the Ways of the Siesta, and they sleep together, but not like that.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Your episode, season 7, episode 6 of How I Met Your Mother, is called Mystery versus History.
Mystery versus history. Okay. There's going to be an argument within the group about what Ted is attracted to. Is it someone who he's had history with?
Okay.
Or is it a mysterious new... Okay.
Is Ted more attracted to the familiar or the...
Unknown.
The unknown, that's good. Okay, good. We did it.
We did it.
That's the whole episode. Thank you for listening. You can find this podcast... Well, you know that. You know how to find the podcast. You've already done it. But you can also find a post for every episode at battleshippretension.com. Battleshippretension.com. Never mind. Is my where you find my other podcast. But you can leave a comment there. You can also... The preferred way of getting in touch with us is to email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. Or you can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Davey Pretension. You can find... I feel like there's another one I usually say, but I think I'm thinking of my other show.
Twitter?
Yeah, I said Twitter and Blue Sky is David Pretension. Yeah.
Instagram.
Don't reach out to me on Instagram. Yeah, website, email. Gmail. Yeah, that's it. That's how people can find us and leave comments. Oh, yeah, we want to know. What is it we wanted to know?
We Crispin want to Glover, know, hit or miss.
Willard or Wontard? And, yeah, what is your thoughts on talking or crying in the bathroom in public restrooms?
Yeah, public restroom scenario stories. Also, what did the cakes say?
Oh, what did the cakes say? Yeah. I'm going to say the cakes... Were the cakes a lie? That's a video game reference.
Okay.
The cake is a lie. I don't know things about video games, but...
But then there's also, is it cake?
Is it cake, right. But I'm just trying to pander to our video game listening.
Yes. Because you've slandered them so often.
Well, I don't understand a thing about them.
Yeah.
But where can people find you?
They can't, as you know. But if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers, give us 5 stars, or tell us why we don't deserve that many stars. You know all the calls to action. And thanks for listening. Until next time, we'll be in Alaska.